No, we always find a way.
We were all thinking it. Yes. I just said it out loud.
I want to go see that movie.
I was thinking Jeff Goldblum.
A friend of mine came up with words to the Jurassic Park song. In Jurassic Park, they have dinosaurs and Jeff Goldblum. Nailed it. None of you will ever forget that now. Nope.
Well, howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 419 of the Nintendo Oki podcast for Monday, June 25th, 2018. I'm your host, Tony, and joining me as he does every week, we've got Shelby.
Tony, I have a problem.
What is that problem?
Okay, long story short, because there's other people that need to be introduced, and they don't like it when I talk too much and they can't talk. Dang it, I just spent 12 seconds saying that. Oh no, there were another three. I used to be a big Garfield fan back in the day. Garfield used to be funny. Garfield recently celebrated his 40th birthday. That's cool. About 20 years ago, Garfield stopped being funny-ish. That being said, because, hey, how many jokes can you do in 40 years? That being said, I carried on the Garfield tradition in my heart by always making sure I had Garfield checks. Well, I went to get new checks the other day, and they said, "Do you want the same checks?" I'm like, "Yes, I do." And then they called me up later and said, "Hey, we can't get the Garfield checks anymore." And I was like, "Are you crazy? What do you mean you don't get Garfield checks anymore? Like, well, we can get kittens? That is not the same thing."
No.
40th birthday, Tony. No more Garfield checks. What's the world coming
to? That's sad. You're going to have to pick another cartoon now.
No, I just got normal plain checks.
I don't even own checks anymore. I don't know the last time I had a check in my house.
How in the world do you get by as an adult?
I don't use checks. I use my card for everything.
Man. I mean, I guess you pay all your bills on the line. I still have to write checks for a couple bills, but...
Yeah, no, all of mine are done online.
Yeah, I got a couple of them. Then if I pay them online, they charge me an extra fee. I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that does stink, but I'd rather do that than carry around antiquated pieces of paper to tell people I'm giving them money.
I mean, carry them around. I keep them in a drawer in the house, and when I need to pay bills, I go get them out.
That's true. My grandpa used to carry checks around everywhere. But
the person that mows my lawn, you know what? I'm not just going to leave cash in their mailbox.
No.
I'm not going to leave Garfield checks in their mailbox anymore either.
It's just going to be a plain, boring check. They're not going to know what's happening.
Actually, they'll probably know what's happening more because the Garfield checks, there was so much going on in the background, you couldn't really read them that well.
Ah, there you go. Good point. All right. Also joining us this week, we got Shannon.
You know, I still use checks. And I still use checks only because big, important companies charge fees when you use cards to pay your bills.
That is true. Most of my bills are the amount plus like $3.95.
See, and I break that down and I go, that's $3.95 every month for how many years? No, I'm not going to do that because for $20, I can get a box of 200 checks because we don't get them from the bank because the bank charges for like a book of 50 checks. You can get them from like this third party website that just puts all your information on fancy pieces of paper. So
yeah, I'm a little comfortable. I'm giving my information to third party places. They probably have Garfield checks though. Maybe that's my option.
They probably do. They've got Disney checks, which you know tend to be. You know, you want Mickey Mouse on your check?
No, I'm good. I don't need that mouse on my checks. That's basically Kingdom Hearts on my checks, and that means they're never going to come out.
Oh man, Ethan, do you still have checks?
Nope.
You work at a bank. How do you not have checks?
I don't need them.
People give him checks all the time.
I guess he just takes them. He doesn't do that. I'm just joking.
Yeah, I also don't have stamps because I don't know the last time I mailed anything from my house.
Oh my gosh, what is wrong with you?
I go to the post office and I'm like, yeah, I need to mail this. And I'm like, all right, here's so much it'll cost to send it. I'm like, cool.
If you don't mail things regularly, like I could see that, I guess. Stamps are, I mean, it's like $8 for a book of stamps. And if you don't go through a book of stamps in a year, then it's not really worth it, I suppose. But they're not.
I never sent that thing to you, Shelby. I apologize.
What are you apologizing for?
For something that I was supposed to send like a month and a half ago to you for your birthday.
Oh, I thought you were going to apologize for saying that something I was into was a disease earlier before we started recording. Because like that kind of deserves an apology, but like whatever.
I feel like a really old man now because I got very upset when the post office stopped selling lickable stamps. Like everything's an adhesive now.
Like, wait, you don't like the adhesive stamps?
No.
You'd rather lick that gross, gluey stuff?
I preferred the stamps that you lick, and I still buy. I go to the Dollar Tree for my envelopes solely because they're the only place that still sells the ones that you lick the back of the paper.
You're going to die of tongue cancer.
Yeah, I don't know if I can back this, Shannon Reifenberg. It's maybe we part ways. I thought this self-adhesive stamp was a amazing technological breakthrough by the U.S. Government Postal Service.
Look, I really miss the day when, I mean, it used to be the thing when I was a kid. I sit down and you help mom and dad pay the bills. And what's the one thing you get to do? You get to lick the stamps. You get to lick the envelope. That was the coolest thing.
They told their child to lick them so they didn't have to because they're disgusting.
Yeah.
You're not telling me my dad used me now, are you?
Absolutely.
Shannon, think about that statement. You know. Your father loved you, of course, but you know your dad. You're just like him. If anything you could do to get one over on somebody. I bet you, Shannon Reifenberg, were the person that used that disgusting yellow brown round stamp sponge in the petri dish at the post office, aren't you? It was always dry because no one ever used it, but it was also like also somehow still wet and probably moldy. Ugh.
You know me so well.
I know. Talk to you a lot on this podcast, Shannon. The odd thing is, a lot of people have heard this conversation and probably can put the two and two together as well.
All right. Well, there you go. This podcast is not going out through the U.S. mail, so we don't have to put a stamp on it.
We don't have any news, so we can babble on for a half hour about stamps and checks.
Hey, we got to fill that time somehow.
Yeah, got to get the people what they want.
That's right. So they'd probably rather listen to this than any of the news we would talk about anyway.
I'm going to bust it right here, but this may be the longest intro we've ever had where no one's talked about food.
That's true, and we're going to keep that from happening because we're going to stop right now.
Oh.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some video games. Okay, Ethan, what have you been playing this week?
Okay, I played Minecraft.
You did?
Yeah. We've talked about that a lot, so I'm sure we can just move on, right?
I want to hold up for a second here, if you don't mind. Just answer yes or no, because I need to know. I need to be mentally prepared. Are you going to talk about Destiny 2 at some point?
Or...
Tony, end the show. End the show right now. Done.
Can't do all this. All right. Having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days.
I don't know what the music. What's the outro music? I've forgotten all of a sudden. It's Bless My Stars from Katamari. Think of Katamari. Do da da do da da. I can't do it. Whatever. Go on.
No, I'm not going to talk about Destiny 2. Unless you really want me to.
You just said that before. It would have been so much easier.
Well, you gave me three options to say there, so I had to go with the middle one.
Did not. We could... Okay, unless you want to turn this into a grammar discussion, which we should not, because we would literally be arguing semantics at that point.
Taking your definitely.
Anyone else hear that?
I heard nothing.
I don't know what's going on.
All right, Minecraft.
Yep. Bedrock or Better Together update, whatever you want to call it, that finally came out on Switch.
Yeah, so Tony, but damn it, do.
So that's what Tony's been playing.
That's one of the games, yes.
I was playing on PC, and then we had other people on Xbox Ones and Switches and PCs as well.
It's awesome that that all worked.
Yeah. Too bad the PS4 version was oddly absent from all that. Oh. So yeah, that was a lot of fun, especially last night. I don't. What did we do? 4 hours long on playing the server there?
It was about that. Yeah, we were on there forever.
Yeah, it's amazing how well my internet can hold up to that too.
Yeah, and it was amazing that we didn't die because you spawned the Ender Dragon 2 minutes after we started playing.
Well, you know, I have I'm the server. I have creative access, so. Of course, I want to look and see what I can do.
Note to self, never play PSO with Ethan.
Well, the dragon flew off. We don't know where he went.
So yeah, he's just gone.
What's worse than a dragon you can see? A dragon you can't see.
Well, he was probably scared of me, so...
No, he was not. Not he is a dragon.
You so, let's see. It's me, Tony. Ooh, who else was there? Lang, Cole... Will showed up for a while.
Will did. Brandon was there for a while. Jake.
Your daughter's boyfriend or something? Yes.
Yeah, he was there as well. We had, I think, 8 or 9 different people throughout the night in and out playing with us.
Wow.
Yeah, the server maxes out at 8 people, so there was at least someone that cycled out.
Yeah, so, but it was a good time running around. Playing together.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with the Thursday test that we did. That was kind of a letdown.
That was strange, because Thursday night we started playing. We wanted to just test it out before we got the community together on Friday to play, and Ethan and I were playing. I was hosting on the Switch. He was playing on PC. The Windows 10 version. And we were playing just fine. Lang wanted to join us. He tried to join. It said it wouldn't let him join because the versions were different. But he was on Windows 10, so it should have worked because Ethan was playing with me. I hopped out for a second just to see if something needed to be updated. And when I got back in, even Ethan couldn't connect to me. So there was something going on Thursday night where it wasn't working perfectly. So Ethan hosted on Friday. I got back in today before the show and was actually hosting a thing, and Andrew was on the computer and he was able to connect to me. So whatever the problem was seems to have been ironed out, and it worked perfectly again.
Probably just that first day server problem bug thing happening, I guess. I don't know.
There are a few small changes to this version of Minecraft. If you're used to the Java edition, which is what was previously out, some new blocks have been added. The aquatic update was out, so there's a bunch of new underwater stuff that hasn't been in the game before.
Sorry, I can't get over the fact that new blocks were added. Holy cow, man! They got new blocks. This thing got 6 sides now.
Well, and it is always a big thing with Minecraft players when
I understand. It's just hearing it said out loud like that was kind of funny to me.
Yeah. You can now access a store for user-generated content. You do have to pay real money for those things. So
can't play with Bitcoins in Minecraft?
No.
No.
No, unfortunately, you can't.
The term blockchain seems oddly appropriate in that case.
And I did get in and look through the store to see what kind of stuff is on there. There's some neat looking stuff, some adventure worlds for people. So that people have created RPGs and different adventures inside Minecraft, which is PC players have been doing forever. But it's fairly new to the console stuff and brand new to Switch players. They've never been able to do anything like that. Where you can go in and download worlds that people have created, where they've pre-made actual adventures in the game. So if you're looking for something to do aside from just building, you can try downloading some of those new adventure maps.
Tony was banned from using the Mario skins for some reason.
It won't let you if you're playing online with people on other consoles. It actually will lock you out, and you can't change to a Mario skin if you're playing online with somebody using Windows 10 or Xbox.
So what if you've built stuff with, like, aren't there Mario skins on the block sometimes?
There are, and you would not be able to use those texture packs either, I would imagine. We didn't try.
Does it just replace it with a generic texture pack?
Yeah.
It would just make it the default. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so that
I'm pretty sure you can use, like, the Master Chief stuff, and I guess Mass Effect's in there, too.
Yeah, because you can. I mean, I don't know if Mass Effect is. I haven't looked and see, but I do know the Halo mashup pack is available on the Switch. So any of that Halo content, you'd be able to use no matter what platform you're playing on.
Master Chief confirmed for Nintendo console.
You know, considering how buddy-buddy Microsoft and Nintendo seem to be right now, I would not be surprised if there's a Halo game of some sort on a Switch platform at some point.
I would!
Halo Pop.
No.
Master Chief Me Edition.
If they ever made the Halo Lego game that EGM did April Fool's jokes, that would be kind of rad.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be Halo Mega Blocks, but whatever. We don't need to get into toy licensing discussions.
So, what else you been playing, Ethan?
I attempted to play Sword and Board.
You attempted to play Sword and Board?
It lasted about 20 to 30 minutes, somewhere in there.
Why do you say attempted?
Well, I had no idea what I was doing. I ran around killing poo monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I was doing on there. So, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. It was a game.
I mean, the game is still unfinished, so.
Yes.
Yeah. You can see the unfinished animations as you're moving as well. Right. It's kind of neat because they're, like, hand-drawn.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, maybe that'll get finished one day.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
And I finished Doom.
Nice.
2016 Doom.
Yes.
If we have to say these kind of things. Thank you, video game people.
I knew you were going to ask, so I was like, I better say this real quick.
Apparently somebody's lighting fireworks outside. That scared me. I don't know if that came through on the mic, but...
I did all the stuff on there. The only thing I didn't do was upgrade all the weapons. But
okay.
I mean, that's all it's like you have to go and do certain challenges for them, but I've done everything I could on there.
Did you find any of those, any of the challenges?
No, I've done everything. It's just that you get the final upgrade on the weapon requires you to go out and do stuff instead of just buying it. So I only maxed out my, the pistol and the double barrel.
Gotcha.
Because, I mean, you don't really need anything else other than the double barrel.
No. And that's probably one of my favorite challenges is that the double barrel one where you're just running through and you have to have consecutive kills for like 30 sec or you have to have 45 consecutive kills. So you have to be constantly killing those demons. It's just nuts.
But it's totally worth it.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I did that challenge as soon as possible on there, and it made the game so much gorier, we'll go with.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that final boss, I kind of like how it's the callback to finishing the original set of the first Doom game. Where it's the spider thing. And so that means in Doom 2, we'll have the little spider miniature versions of that running around. So that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
So that's all I've been playing without being asked a question.
What are you buying?
Steam Summer Sale is happening. or was. I don't know how this works.
You do, it's a lie. You do. You just don't want to look it up.
Well, I'm lazy, so.
I know. Yeah. Hey, I'm lazy too. I got you.
I went out and bought Fallout 4, which I played all day today on PC. I've had it on PS4. Yeah, PS4. And just, I'd rather have the PC version for console commands because you can have so much fun just messing with a Bethesda type game.
Walk out, this door's locked. No, it ain't.
No, it's not. I'm mostly using, just building up the settlements right now on there. The first three that I came across under normal gameplay, I guess you could say. And then I'm going to play it semi-normal. Semi-normally. We'll go with that. And I also bought Borderlands, the pre-sequel.
Sure.
There was another thing, and I forgot what it was. I can't find it on my list.
All right. I guess that means you're up, Shannon.
Money well spent.
Yep.
Okay, so I finally went through and got the headset for the PSVR, I don't know what you want to call it, 2.0. I talked about hooking up the new breakout box last week with the 4K pass-through and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The new headset has some serious physical differences to it. First of all, it's not a big, thick, monstrous, heavy cable coming out of it. They've really slimmed it down, and it doesn't plug into like this weird breakaway thing that just dangles on the floor. It's all one piece that plugs into the breakout box. The other thing is, you don't have to plug your headphones into a dongle anymore. They now just plug into the back of the headset, which is cool.
What is with all the people getting rid of the cool headphone squid dongles?
I kind of like that it you ditched the dongle.
Of course, I'm just joking. I just like
I know.
Someone was in the shape of a Splatoon squid.
But
I almost bought it just because of the shape.
Only to find out that you'll never need it because all those features are right there in the system.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because I've never played Splatoon 2 online and probably never will at this point.
That too. But, yeah, so all of the buttons, all the control buttons are now on the front of the headset. So the same place where the button to move the screen away from your face is now on the left-hand side is now your volume control, your mute button for the microphone, and the power on and off. Like, it's all on the headset now instead of having to fumble around with the cord to try and find the buttons.
Yeah, that's handy.
Yes, it's very, very handy. And there's also like these little rubber cutaways for you to, like, if you're using earbuds, like if you use the earbuds that came with it, or if you're just using your own earbuds that you've plugged in, there's these little rubberized cutaways on the sides of the headset that you can just pull them out of your ears and pop the headphones into. So you can, you know, you don't have the cables dangling around you when you go to take the headset off. So that's a cool feature. This is definitely a much improved, like the jump on this for me is kind of like the jump from the 3DS to the new 3DS with the face tracking 3D, like features that should have been there to begin with. And, you know, it feels like a much better VR headset, even though it's kind of using the same tech. So, but In the mentality of getting that thing out to test it out and make sure it all worked while I'm still within a return window, I played Idolmaster Cinderella the Girls live.
Man.
Yeah.
I have so many mixed feelings about those games. One, I want them because, of course, it's Idolmaster. Two, it's not really a game. It's just like an interactive movie. Three, it's still kind of cool because, like, I'm never going to get to go to an actual Idolmaster concert. And four, it's way too expensive to buy all that stuff, and I totally would buy all that stuff.
So here's what I'm going to say. It is cool. It is nowhere near as cool as the Miku stuff. because there's way more to do. You have way more range of mobility within the stage in the Miku VR Future Live than you do in the Cinderella Girls one. The Idolmaster one, you are locked to being on the ground in the crowd.
It's just like there's like six different points on the radius around the stage that you can go to, right?
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah. Like in the Miku one, you could go pretty much anywhere. You could go up on the stage.
You're in the balcony. You're flying on a thing over the rest of the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have way more mobility. And another thing I noticed is the sound doesn't really seem to be changed based off of where you are in the audience. Like one of the big things with the Miku one was the 3D sound that they did was really representative of where the speakers were in the virtual concert hall. Mm-hmm. So like if you were over on the left side, your left ear would be much louder than your right ear. If you're in the center, everything was pretty well balanced. But if you turned your head around, you'd hear the music behind you rather than in front of you. That doesn't seem to be the case in this Idolmaster one. It just seems to always be playing the music at the same volume. Doesn't really change or alter what you're hearing based on where you are in the crowd, which is kind of lame. But all in all, it's probably the closest I'll ever come to being at an Idolmaster concert. So,
I'll say this. It's Idolmaster Cinderella Girls, which I like quite a bit, mm-hmm. but pales in comparison to the OG Idolmasters, you know? If it was OG Idolmasters, I'd probably already have a VR headset.
Let's see. That was all I played with the VR headset on. I will say Travis bugged me about playing Minecraft this week,
You're gonna say Monster Truck Crush It or whatever the heck.
No, all right, so that came up, but I said, hey, how about we play an Xbox game instead? Game. So I tried to get Travis to play Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing Transformed.
Yeah.
Because that was a
did he lose interest in the time it took you to try to say the title?
That game is way more complicated for his age than Mario Kart is. Like we'll sit down and we'll play Mario Kart and he has a blast, but him trying to wrap his head around all of the stuff that's happening in the Sonic Transformed Racing, I think he was having trouble. He really liked the fact that you could play as Wreck-It Ralph, and he really liked just running his car into the wall to see Wreck-It Ralph's wrecking ball hanging behind his truck slam into Ralph's head.
Couldn't get enough of Danica Patrick.
Travis just had a blast just slamming that wrecking ball into things, even though it doesn't interact with anything. It's just there visually, but he was laughing that it kept swinging around and slamming into stuff. And then when he found out that Ralph's all-star move was to be a helicopter, he got mad when he could be a helicopter all the time, and he wanted to play something else. So,
wait, he got mad being a helicopter?
No, he got mad because so when you get the all-star power-up, that's the only time you get to become the helicopter.
Oh, he couldn't stay as the helicopter.
He couldn't stay as the helicopter, all so right. He was done.
So everything was substandard at that point.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. So then we went to Minecraft because we backed out to the main screen. He saw Minecraft on the home screen, so he wanted to play that. He's a better Minecrafter than I am. And
yeah, that's science.
So
if you want to know if somebody's a better Minecraft player than you, here's a simple test. Is the other person younger than you, yes or no? The answer to that question is going to tell you whether or not they're better at Minecraft than you.
That's pretty true.
He was he made it through his first night, which I still have yet to do. outside of like digging a hole and burying myself, he was just running around. He just kept moving. I'm the fool who would try and stop and fight whatever is trying to kill me. No, he just keeps moving. Just keeps moving.
If you build a sword, Shannon, you can defend yourself.
You know what? I don't know how to build anything.
You've been told this by years of video games, Shannon. You feel like, oh, there is an enemy here. I must fight it. No, you can just leave. You don't have to fight kids these days. Like, whatever. See a goon? I'm going to go over here where there's no goon. Moblin, yep. Whatever the heck they're called. Gobble the booble the boobin.
It's pronounced creeper.
Oh, okay. That's close.
It wasn't a creeper. Like, the thing that got me the first time I tried to play was, like, weird and skinny, had purple eyes, and it creeped me out. And
oh, that's an Enderman. Yeah, don't fight those guys. They'll eat your face.
Why was I supposed to know? It was the first bad guy I see in the game, and I'm thinking, oh, I got this. I'll run over and punch him. Well, nope, I'm dead.
They can teleport.
Anyway. Shannon's over here talking like he's playing Dark Souls. So I fought this big thing in the asylum and he killed me in one hit. What the heck's going on with this game? So yeah, I'm the same dude later, Travis, and he was on fire.
Travis is I guess from all of the videos he watches on YouTube, he knows how to Minecraft, and I just don't. So
I'd play some Minecraft with you one night, Shannon.
I'm down for this. We need to set up a time. I've been saying it for months. So, let's see. And then all Friday afternoon and all day Saturday, I've been playing God of War. So,
yay.
This is the new God of War. I guess God of War 4 on the PlayStation 4.
Don't try to number it. It gets difficult.
Yeah, it's like God of War 7 or 8, actually.
It's like Doom. Or whatever you know.
It's like every video game franchise. Like, oh, what's just name it the name the first game was? That was 10 years ago. All those people are dead by now. I'm like, no, we're not. Oh. Our money's less important to you now. Oh.
This is probably the most God of War I have ever played. I've played 1, 2, and one of the ones on the PSP. And they were nowhere near, like, this game is nowhere near as violent or as full of teen angst as the other games were. This is very much grown-up, adult storytelling God of War. And
I've seen some people say if you really, really liked those first games, you're not going to like this one. And then I've heard some other people say if you didn't like that game, those games, you'll love this one.
Yeah.
I didn't like those first games, but I don't think I would really like playing this one either. The story probably pretty rad, but yeah, I just can't play those kinds of games.
So here's the thing. What I did at the very beginning when it asked
ran
you what
past
difficulties,
the first boss.
When it asks you what difficulty you want to set it at, I just pick the difficulty that says, and I quote, I just want a story. That's what they called it.
Does it play itself, like Nier?
It does not play itself, but every enemy I have encountered is pretty much a one-hit kill, unless they're trying to teach you a new mechanic.
Yeah, I still don't think that's enough, unless it plays itself like Nier Automata did. That's the only reason that was the only way I was able to get through Nier, which I'm glad, because that story was amazing, but... Yeah, like there was part like I put the controller down and walked off during the last boss fight in here because I just couldn't stand there and watch it anymore.
I will say this: there is in this game that has made me think about my role as a parent. And I know that's kind of strange to hear coming out of a God of War video game, but a lot of the lessons that he's teaching Atreus about just being patient. And being thinking about what you're doing before you do something.
Have you just started calling Travis boy?
You know what? At some point, I might.
Shannon, take your own advice of what you just said about thinking about something before you do it. Are you about to say that you are taking legitimate, good parenting advice from God of War?
When it comes to controlling, teaching Travis how to properly control his anger, yes.
Okay.
And impressive. To fight mythical, you know, creatures.
Anger is a weapon, and when harnessed properly, can be very beneficial to you. But if you let it loose, it could be a horrible detriment.
All right, this sounds like Star Wars. I'm way less interested in this the further this conversation goes. No, but that's cool. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I know a lot of people have said a lot about it. I think the story would probably be pretty cool. I imagine I would enjoy that thoroughly. But, I don't know, maybe I'll just watch something on YouTube or watch a Let's Play or something at some point.
yeah, I mean, this, I'm playing this for the story. At this point, I would take a stab that I'm about halfway through. This is playing a lot like the most recent Tomb Raider, and like the way the world, the way that the story is set up and the interaction, it's very much like Uncharted or the more recent Tomb Raider game. So I'm really enjoying what it's giving me and how it's giving it to me. So nice. And that is all I've played.
What are you buying?
Musinx was a more recent rhythm game to come out. I grabbed that digitally on the PS4, and I've got the Vita version pre-ordered through Limited Run Games. But other than that, that is it for me.
All right. What about you, Shelby?
I've played nothing significant worth talking about in this podcast. Anyone surprised? Okay. You shouldn't be. I'm just going to move on.
What are you buying?
So I did buy some video games, even though I don't play them anymore, apparently, because I don't know. So I've heard people say very good things about Mario Tennis Aces.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've bought that game sight unseen. I haven't watched a trailer. I haven't watched a gameplay video. People are saying that the new Mario Tennis game is good. So I'm like, all right, I'm in. So I bought that. I haven't played it. Actually, I put it on my game shelf today, so I'll probably forget that I own it and may never play it. I don't know. That's scary.
Oh, no.
But yeah, that's cool. I'm excited to play that. I just got some other games I need to get done. I need to stop playing new games and finish the ones I'm playing. I need to finish Blue Reflection and whatever else I'm playing. Playing other games. I forget. I don't know. I've forgotten what they are. That's a great sign. I saw that the Octoling 3-pack was available for pre-order, so I bought those, because I like, I was about to say,
you like Amiibo.
That's not right at all. I like Splatoon. I like that.
There you go.
And I like toys, so I guess this is a combination of that. So Ethan mentioned that Steam sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're thinking. Shelby, what are you talking about, Steam sale? You don't play games on your computer. Well, you're right. But Steam links were $2.50.
Yes, they were.
What?
$2.50 for a Steam link. And I got on there and got to bopping around and started looking up, like, hey, this Steam, basically looking up whether or not I could just stream my computer desktop to my TV via a Steam link, or if I just had to do stuff in Big Picture. Well, it turns out you can. Turns out you can just basically mirror your computer via a Steam link on your TV. That is something I am very much in the market for. So I'd say, hey, two are better than one, so I bought two Steam links.
Okay.
And also, so the thing is, I bought a Steam link by itself for $2.50, and I bought a Steam link / Steam controller bundle because the Steam controller was like $31? And in that bundle, the Steam Link was actually $2.30?
But the controller's really bad.
I'm not planning on using it for a controller, but it is a cheaper and easier option to control a Steam Link while you were on a treadmill than a wireless mouse and keyboard would be.
True.
And, yeah, so I'm just basically, it seems like it's cheaper than buying another wireless mouse and keyboard. And it would be something I could easily use while I'm on the treadmill because it's, you know, something you can put in your hand. So that's what I'm planning on using it for, so that I can, you know, do stuff on my computer while I'm on the treadmill.
Okay, so for anybody who's actually interested in that information, that sale ends July 5th, and I need to talk to the merchant again because I'm totally buying that.
What are you buying?
$2.50 Steam Link. Got it.
For $2.50. Yeah, like, it's kind of crazy how cheap those things are getting. I guess they're just trying to clear out a warehouse because they got a bunch of them. But hey, like, if it works, like, I'm totally been in the market for something like that, something exactly like that for a while. I did not realize Steam Links had that capability earlier, or I would have bought them a long time ago. Like, it wasn't too long ago, they were selling them for $5 a piece or something like that, so.
I may need to look into this and pick one of these up.
Yeah, like, Apple TVs do things like that too, but I don't have an Apple computer, so I can't really benefit from it like that using a Windows computer, to my knowledge. I don't know. But yeah, the Steam Link thing, from what I was looking into, it does exactly what I want it to do. So yeah, $2.50, even if it doesn't do what I want it to do, still, I bought a coaster, whatever. $2.50. I'm sure I can find a use for it for $2.50.
Yep.
But that is all for me. Tony.
What's up?
What you got? How you doing over there?
I'm doing pretty good, actually.
Buying those Steam Links yet?
No, I haven't bought a Steam Link yet.
I will say that when I place that order, they're like, hey, we're expecting high demand, so your order may take a while. And I'm like, no kidding, they're $2.50. You think?
And it's one of those things, I'd be like, yeah, okay, you can take your time. I'm not that worried about getting it super quick.
Yeah. Like, I can wait a couple of weeks. Like, that's cool. And yeah. I kind of always have wanted to try one of those Steam controllers anyway. And since they were like, I don't know how much they were regularly, but it was like $30. It was cheaper than buying another mouse and keyboard, like I said, or any other controller. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll actually... Hey, I bought a controller for my computer. Ethan? Eh?
Eh?
Eh? I can...
You bought a Steam controller, though.
Well, good. I made the best choice.
That may be debatable.
I don't know. Like, it's better than nothing. Like, maybe I'd be able to finally play AM2R or something. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't work actually well as a controller from what people have said, but I don't know. It looks like it'd be fun to use. Better than nothing, though, right? Maybe.
Yeah.
All right, Tony, you can go this time. For real.
All right. Well, speaking of weird controllers, Andrew this week can control the Wii U and the PS4 with a keyboard this week. And so he's been doing that every single time he turned those things on to like type into YouTube and stuff like that.
On the Wii
U. I didn't even know you could do that. On the Wii U, yeah.
Huh.
It accepts a keyboard input, at least for navigating things like Hulu and Netflix and YouTube. Oh,
that's cool.
So, what have I been playing, though? Minecraft, as Ethan mentioned. Played a bunch of that this week. Fortnite. I played all the Fortnite this week.
Okay, Tony, you're playing Minecraft and Fortnite. Are you sure you're not 12?
I may be. I don't know. But Fortnite is making me enjoy a shooter again.
All right. Can I share a quick story since we don't have any news? Or do you want me to save the story for the news segment?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So coworkers at work also play video games, and they are quite into Minecraft as well. Mm-hmm. And they keep saying to me, hey, you should get on Minecraft with us. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll try Minecraft with you guys. And like, okay, well, give us your PSN ID and everything. I'm like, okay. And you guys know me. I'm not exactly the quickest on the uptake when it comes to friend requests and sharing IDs and stuff like that. Not that I don't want to do it. Not that I'm a jerk or anything. I just don't think about it. When I turn on my PS4, I want to play a game. I don't want to go through friend requests or whatever. But finally, after them reminding me multiple times, and thank goodness they didn't get upset, because normally that's what happens. I don't know if I ever added Shannon to my Wii U friends list or not. I'll have to check. Send that one to me again. I finally added them on PSN. Also, I noticed that there was some messages from Will and Josh from like 3 years ago that were asking for stuff. Like, whoops. There was like a thing from Micah that was like, hey, why don't you do screen share on this? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, this is when I was playing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers for the first time like a year and a half ago. Whoops. Really, probably should pay better attention to that. Anyway, I had them on there, and I downloaded Fortnite. But here's the thing. I'm close. I'm getting closer. I might actually play Fortnite someday. Probably not.
I would recommend if you ever decide to play Fortnite, don't your PSN ID to your Epic account, because that would mean you wouldn't be able to use that stuff, anything you had on any other system, except for the PC.
This is already getting way too complicated. So here's the thing. I don't necessarily want to play Fortnite. I'm not against it. Like, I'd be willing to try it. online tutors aren't necessarily my thing, but like the people at work don't know that I'm impossible to deal with when it comes to trying to set up some sort of online gaming session. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just felt guilty about telling them no multiple times. So I guess they're wearing me down, maybe. I don't know. I'm at work. I try to be professional, but that's my Fortnite story. So as it develops, I'll keep you in the loop.
Okay.
Fortnite is on my PS4.
Okay.
While I was on the store also, it was like recommending a bunch of Destiny DLC. I have no idea why. I feel like Ethan hacked my PS4. Anyway, continue.
It's all those invites I've sent you.
Maybe.
So, yeah, but like I was saying, Fortnite, I can't believe I'm enjoying an online shooter, but I've been playing it every single night since it came out on the Switch. And I think it, just like Splatoon, it's because it's not your straight up traditional Call of Duty, get in, shoot as many guys as you can, die, get in and shoot as many guys as you can, die, get in and shoot as many guys as you can type thing. With Fortnite, I can play the game. I can go, I can, you know, find all the materials and look for stuff and be away from everybody else and play the game. And then towards the end, get in and start shooting people and trying to get to where I win a match. I still haven't won a solo match. Come close twice. I finished in second place a couple of times. But yeah, I mean, I'm digging it. It's a fun shooter.
Guess what? Popular opinion agrees with you.
Absolutely. Remember back on the PS4, not long after it was available, I downloaded it. I was like, oh, I'll try this and see what it's like. I downloaded it on the PS4 back when I had a working controller. Downloaded it, got into my first match, had no idea what was going on. I was like, this game is dumb. Deleted it. Never looked back. And then it was coming to the Switch, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch a little bit, see. I watched a couple of videos before I got in, saw what people were doing, the kinds of things you're supposed to be doing at the beginning of a match, you know, looking for weapons and gathering resources and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, now I understand, I think. And got in, played my first few matches, didn't die immediately, even encountering people, didn't die immediately. I was like, okay, this is pretty fun. And then I kept getting a little further and a little further and a little further in the matches. And now I'm like, okay, this game is great. Part of it is because, and the reason it's become so popular, at least in my opinion, over games like PUBG or H1Z1, stuff like that, is because of the fact that it's got that sort of cartoony aesthetic. It's not an overly realistic looking shooter like a Call of Duty or PUBG or something like that. It's okay if my kids walk in and I'm playing the game. I don't have to turn it off and, you know, make sure they're not looking at it because it's going to traumatize them.
So I'm curious because when I was downloading it, like I was watching the trailer or whatever on the PSN store, they're still like shooting guns at people and there's like reactions to that. There's just not necessarily any blood or gore. Is that the difference?
No, I think it is. I mean, it's got that sort of, you're playing an RPG thing where when you hit somebody, numbers pop for them and it's nothing else. And, you know, they don't react like they've been shot. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You know, it does show the character model moves a little bit, but it's not that violent sort of reaction that you would expect to have from getting shot.
Okay.
And I think that's part of it. And, you know, the guns, while they look sort of realistic, are very cartoonish in their look. I mean, you know, they're colorful. They've got big bulky bits all over them and, things like that. So I think that's a big part of why the game appeals to so many people. It's like the World of Warcraft of shooters, I guess.
Send all your hate mail to podcast@nintendo-oki.com because I'm sure we got a lot of wow people listening to the podcast. There's some, I'm sure, but
some. You know, and then there's the other game that came out for Switch, the other shooter that I'm like, okay, I want to play this. I actually, Paladins is what I'm referring to, came out the same day that Fortnite did. But you have to pay for it right now. The free-to-play version of it doesn't come out until later in the summer. So, you know, games like Splatoon and Fortnite have gotten me looking at some other shooters and seeing maybe these games could be something I could enjoy. Call of Duty Online, I will never enjoy. I know that. I've had enough experience with Call of Duty Online to know I do not want to play that. Voice chat in Fortnite's been really mostly tame. Basically playing with people I know. I played a couple nights with Jules, a friend of the show. We've had a bunch of people group in and out playing Fortnite over the last few nights.
I'm going to say the ironic part is you're probably playing against the same 12-year-olds that yell profanities at you in Call of Duty that you are in Minecraft. It just, you don't hear them, maybe?
It's entirely possible. I did have one. There was one match I needed to figure out how to turn the voice chat off because there was this one kid that was playing that was just yelling at everything. Wasn't yelling obscenities or anything. He was just yelling at everything, and it was loud. So I need to get in and figure out how to turn it off if I'm not talking to specifically to friends. But yeah, the game is fun. Been enjoying it quite a lot. And the other game I can talk about, finally, review will be up later this week. Ease 8 on the Switch.
Oh. A lot of letters in that title.
And I was going to say no vowels, but there are three vowels in it if you count the three I's in 8.
Sometimes Y is a vowel. I remember hearing that one time. I don't know where. I guess the word Y is
sometimes a vowel.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes Y? Yeah, like whatever. I think Y is just trying to pose. Just wants in on the action. You but try to look, buy a Y and Wheel of Fortune, they're going to laugh you off the set.
Maybe. Yeah, definitely. I'd like to buy a Y. You don't maybe have to yet. Do that. So yeah, but Ease 8. Oh my gosh, is this game so good. It is, for anybody that doesn't know, an action RPG, so it's not turn-based like classic Final Fantasies or anything like that. You are controlling a character, pushing a button. The attack buttons do specific animations to attack enemy characters. You can move around freely, any of that kind of stuff. All of the enemies you would see are on the screen at any one time, and you're not going to be running into random encounters and things like that. It's the first game to be on a Nintendo system in a while, I think. Don't hold me to that. The last time I played an Ease game, it was Ease Origin back on the PC in like 2006 or 2007, something like that.
I would love to see a breakdown of the most used words and subtitles of video games, but then I realized that the internet is a thing and that probably actually exists.
There may be.
Then I realize I'm too lazy to look it up, so I guess I don't want to see it that much after all.
So, in the game, you play as a character named Adol. He's the main character of the series. He's sort of the Link of the Ease series, I guess you could say. You, at the start of the game, you are providing security for this cruise ship. It looks like an old sailing ship. The game is set sort of in... the equivalent to it would be like mid-1800s England look to the ships and things like that. But you're providing security. You are sailing along on this cruise, and you see this island off on the distance, and this island is apparently inhabited by giant monsters, and anybody that gets close just disappears. For some reason, the captain of the ship says, "Hey, would you like to get a little closer and see the island?"
No! And
you say, sure.
Wreck on Jurassic Park.
You say, sure. You're not far off, Ethan. You say, sure, why not? You sail a little closer. The ship gets attacked by a kraken. And you wash up on shore. And you're the only one around. and you have to try, you have to search the island looking for other survivors of the shipwreck. And there are giant dinosaurs everywhere. So, I mean, very early on, you encounter a dinosaur, you beat it, but it just runs off. A few hours later, story-wise, it comes back. You have to fight it again. You do have more characters at that point because you have gone, you've searched different parts of the island.
Jeff Goldblum joins you.
I have not seen a Jeff Goldblum looking character yet.
Holy.
Man, I'd be down for that.
I don't remember a Jeff Goldblum looking character in the game, unfortunately.
It has to be voiced by Jeff Goldblum.
Well, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool.
That would be fantastic. But yeah, so and as you find survivors of this shipwreck, you all come back together. You're building this village that conveniently everybody that you find has different skills that make this village work. You know, you'll find a tailor, someone who can make weapons. You find a doctor, someone who's really good at cooking. So there's no overlap in anybody. Nobody has the same skills as anybody else.
Any boat makers in the village there?
No, not really. I mean,
conveniently missing, huh?
There are people that do sort of have the ability to make a boat. They make a boat. One of the rich snobby, steals the boat, tries to leave the island by himself, gets attacked by the Kraken and dies.
Oh, okay. Well, we got any Kraken slayers and a boat builder? If there's two in one, that'd be really ideal in the situation.
They would be, wouldn't they?
I would take some sort of like takoyaki chef. I imagine he would probably have maybe some overlap skills we could use.
So, yeah, I mean, and the game is told in this sort of two-part thing. You have Adol, who is the main character, and most of the story it revolves around him. But then you have this other character named Donna, who is studying to be this sort of leader of... I want to say she's like the leader of this religious group. And she becomes like the chosen one of the people that she lives with. And eventually those two stories converge together and you'll take turns playing back and forth. Sometimes you're Adol, sometimes you're Donna, and they'll eventually meet together and you go off and the story then sort of meets in the middle and everybody is doing the same thing at that point.
Donna leading the cult. Is she a cult leader?
No, she's not a cult leader.
Okay, good. Because the way you described it sounded like a cult.
And she has these really awesome looking weapons. They're like these, you know, like a chakram, but with a handle.
What
sort of thing?
No, I don't know what a chakram is.
The thing that Xena uses. Do you know what that is?
Who?
Okay, good grief. I am dating myself with these references. It's a circular blade with a handle on it.
Oh, like a circular saw. Hmm.
Yeah, sort
okay,
of.
I know, I've done woodworking.
like what Tira uses in Soul Calibur. Right?
Yeah, you lost me there.
Okay.
Let's go back to circular saw. Everybody got that one.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the first thing that comes to my mind when you tell me it's a blade that's like a... forget it. I'm fine. I'm a shush.
I say circular saw. It's a saw that's a circle. It's geometry.
Yep.
Pretty much self-explanatory.
Okay. For good.
I mean, the game has a lot of similarities to things like Xenoblade Chronicles. I mean, it's not as open a world as Xenoblade Chronicles, but it is that sort of. You know, visual style, the way you move around the environment, that kind of thing. It's if you know the Xenoblade series, that's what it looks like. The monsters that you're fighting, kind of, you can get a Monster Hunter vibe from them because they're giant dinosaur-looking monsters that are very, very hard to kill. But yeah, and I'm not really doing this game justice. It's fantastic. But the review for that will be up later this week. You can see all of my thoughts on that. It's probably going to be a long one too. But that's really all that I've been playing this week.
What are you buying?
you know, we talk on this show all the time.
About Steam Link, didn't you?
No, I didn't buy Steam Link. We haven't talked on this show all the time about Steam Link. Voting with our dollars.
I have one right behind me. It's a Steam Link with a controller.
Does it look like a dollar bill?
Can.
Okay. There you go. So yeah, we talk all the time on the show about voting with our dollars. But you know how I hate paying for free-to-play games.
Yeah.
I have mentioned that many times before. I spent money on a free-to-play game this week.
What'd you buy for Fortnite?
I bought the Battle Pass that gives you access to a bunch of skins and experience to level up to get more stuff.
You paid money to level up.
I paid, well, not exactly, but I can level up a little faster because of it. Basically, no, what I was doing though was just throwing some money at Epic saying, hey, I really liked your game here.
Yeah, I think that is quite noble of you. Like, it is a free-to-play game. Like, if you like them, it's basically like a tip jar at that point, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And that's the way I thought of it. Was like, I've gotten more than $10 worth of enjoyment out of this. I'm getting a little something in that exchange as well. But I think it's well worth spending $10 and giving the developers a little bit of my love. So... I bought the Battle Pass for that, and then I bought some adventure maps for Minecraft.
That money did not go to Epic.
No, that money went to Microsoft. Yeah,
very much so.
From a Nintendo system. So
okay, that's a little weird, but okay.
I spent money on a Nintendo system so that Microsoft can get some money.
Nintendo got their cut. Don't worry, they get paid too.
And you know, the really weird thing is that first time I got an achievement in Minecraft for my Xbox account was strange.
Did it make the glunk sound?
It makes the achievement sound and pops up in the corner. Just
Man, that is weird.
It is really bizarre. But the even funnier thing was my computer was open at the same time, and that's attached to my Xbox account. So I heard the achievement sound twice, once from the Switch, and then again, the notification on the computer saying I got an achievement.
You know, I think I cracked the code right now. I realize why Sony doesn't want to play ball, because you can't unlock an achievement and a trophy at the same time. It'll just lock up. They can't work out the deals of whose sound you hear first. Like, no, you got to hear the Microsoft glunk. And they're like, no, you got to hear the PlayStation ding. And just they couldn't come to terms. Sony left the discussion. Microsoft got top billing.
There you go. But yeah, it is really, really strange to be getting Xbox achievements on a Nintendo system. It really is. And I don't know if it's some, it could be something in the future that happens more often. I don't know. If this goes well, Microsoft and Nintendo may work some more crossplay stuff out. This is obviously not the first crossplay game, because Rocket League, Fortnite, there's a bunch of others, but this is the only one where you're required to have an Xbox account to play online on the Switch. So, but it is bizarre to hear that sound on a Switch. But that is it for me. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about the news. Alright guys, so it's time for the news, and it's very, very, very sad news. Arby's no longer has Pepsi products.
Digging deep in the news well this week.
It's post E3. There is no video game news to talk about.
None at all.
So,
all right, yeah. So Arby's isn't carrying Pepsi stuff anymore?
No, they're not. They're now Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola got their bid. This change has in Arby's nationwide. So when you go to Arby's, no more Mountain Dew, no more Pepsi, no more Sierra Mist.
No more mug.
Yeah, no more mug.
How does Dr. Pepper always weasel their way into that? Like, oh, do you want Coke or Pepsi? Like, oh, we only have one. But they always seem to have Dr. Pepper. Why are they the outlier? What are the Dr. Pepper people doing?
So here's the thing. Dr. Pepper is its own company, and they will hop back and forth as far as distribution with whatever bottling company is local to a territory. So yeah. I live in a weird, like I live in Tipton County, Tennessee. If you go south of me to Shelby County,
that's not where I live, by the way. Don't get confused, people.
Well, no, it's Shelby County, Tennessee. So like where Memphis is, Dr. Pepper is distributed by Coca-Cola, Memphis. If you go north of me, it's distributed by PepsiCo Dyersburg. So it's,
They're just piggybacking on whoever's convenient.
Right. It changes based on region. So like if you look at a map, you could have two counties that are side by side, but if one has a Pepsi plant and one has a Coke plant, they're going to choose whatever's the simplest for them.
So am I to connect the dots here and say that south of you, you could get Dr. Pepper and Coke and Arby's, but north of you, you can get Dr. Pepper and Pepsi at some other restaurant and not Coke? Like, is that what, if the store you're at carries the product that Dr. Pepper is piggybacking on, they will also have Dr. Pepper?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the same reason, like if I go to a McDonald's in Memphis, I can get Diet Dr. Pepper at the tap. But if I go to a McDonald's in Dyersburg, I cannot get Diet Dr. Pepper at the tap because it's not a Coke product. So.
I just like saying Dr. Pepper Snapple Group.
It's its own thing. Snapple is distributed by 7-Up Royal Crown Sodas, and like 7-Up RC Cola was recently purchased by JAB Investments, which is like a bigger, I don't know how it's deep you guys want to dive into this.
RSS feed? Like, how are you keeping up on all this?
I keep up on all of it because like Pete's Coffee is tied into JAB, and like
it affects your job. I understand that. I'm just making it
like they recently bought Nestle, and like those Nestle has like those weird Nescafe espresso machines, and you know everything's all tied together, man. Like it's a deep hole, and to find out where all of these weird agreements happen in a dark alley and some with two guys wearing business suits shaking hands.
You go high enough, man. It's just one man. There's just one person sitting on top of this whole soda empire.
I just learned Dr. Pepper sold a drink called Pepper Free. Like, doesn't that defeat the purpose of Dr. Pepper?
It means you're just having a good drink of doctor.
I mean, are you trying to backdoor your way into a Back to the Future joke?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, it was just a caffeine-free version of Dr. Pepper, right, is what it was.
But sounds great. So, I would love that. Wish they still made that.
So you cannot get Dr. Pepper pepper-free. You have to get it with all the pepper in it. All the
pepper. Pepper, extra pepper.
All the pepper. Sonic's birthday is sometime.
The Hedgehog today, or the burger place?
The Hedgehog.
Okay. Can I still get Sonic the Hedgehog checks, or are they blackballing him now, too? Blacklisting all the stinking animal mascots.
So, did you say today, Ethan?
The original classic was released on this day for the Sega Genesis 27 years ago.
Happy birthday.
Saturday, today.
Happy birthday, Sonic.
Happy birthday, Sonic.
So there you go. That's the news.
Arby's no longer carrying Pepsi, and we barely mentioned Sonic's birthday. Whew. Remember when E3 had all that news?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. If we could have E3 every week, we'd not do this show.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. So in fact, yes. Let's have an E3 every week for free. We're free from these shackles that bind us.
All right, let's move on to listener feedback. And our first one this week comes from Jason via email, who says, Jason here, emailing myself to the front of the line. I have a question that comes up consistently when playing games with my now 6-year-old nephew. He asks a lot of why questions, like, why does Bowser kidnap Peach? Why can Tails fly? What happened to Echo's family? Some of these questions answers
ended up to a harder answer the rest of them.
Some of these questions have easy answers, and some I end up making answers on the fly. Since some of the Oki crew have children or nieces or nephews of their own, do you have any good stories related to these types of questions, or possibly any personal advice regarding answering these types of questions? So, there you go. Why does Bowser kidnap Peach? Because he's evil and the script says so.
He's not really evil.
He's just perseverant.
He's misunderstood. That's what it.
Man, no. He has an approach. And keeps trying. Well, I was going to let the parents speak, but since everyone else was thinking.
Oh, man. Like,
I'll say this. I'm not a parent myself, but I do have a nephew. And I have dealt with kids a lot in the past in certain situations. And kids want you to make a story. If you make it interesting to them, it's going to keep their attention. They're going to have more fun.
That is true.
So, you know, keep that in mind. Giving them the boring answers like, oh, because that's what they wrote when they designed the game. That's not going to make a kid happy. Make up a story like, oh, well, Bowser, you see, he wants to get Princess Peach because he really needs an interior decorator. You see, because his castle's got all kinds of molten rock and lava. And look at Peach's castle. It's kind of cool. It's got windows. So he wants her to decorate his castle. But she's like, I don't want to decorate your castle. It's hot in here. Let me go home.
That's true. And Tails can fly because his three tails look like helicopter blades and they spin really fast. They provide enough lift to get him off the ground.
All right, Tony.
We all know it's two tails.
Yeah. Come on.
Gosh. Okay. I'm thinking nine tails.
You're one of those blue arm apologists, ain't you?
Hey, that shows you how much I actually play Sonic the Hedgehog games.
Not enough.
Clearly.
Tails can fly because he's awesome. He's the real hero of that story.
And he has a pilot's license.
Yeah,
so
he has a plane, and he can build his own plane. So if you wreck his plane, which he does often,
he just builds another one or uses the backup.
So, and we can't talk about what happened to Echo's family on this show.
They went to a field to run around in the field to have fun.
No, they're in a grocery store somewhere.
Shopping for food because they are hungry adults.
There you go.
I do remember playing Skylanders with my nephew, and this is just kind of when he was starting to get good at video games and actually able to kind of play on his own and navigate and kind of understood how to control a character in 3D space. And I had never played Skylanders before. So he was like, hey, Uncle Shelby, you want to play Skylanders? I'm like, yeah, I'll play Skylanders with you. Sure. So we started playing, and I think he had it in his head that my uncle has never played Skylanders, and I have, so I'm just going to roll him. But I'm like, no, kid, I've been playing video games my entire life. Like, you don't need to explain the mechanics to me. I will figure this out in 2 minutes. And he was getting frustrated that he couldn't win. And I'm not about to give him the victory. He's got to earn it, dang it. And also, my brother, it was funny to listen to my nephew explain mechanics that I had already discovered on my own. And at one point, my brother's like, he's played video games his whole life. He knows what he's doing. That's a fun memory.
Yeah. Andrew thought it was amazing today that he could play Minecraft on the computer and I could play on the TV and we could be playing at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually pretty amazing when you think about it. We take it for granted, but that's basically like magic.
A few years ago, you would have never thought that would have happened. It would have not been possible. There's no way Microsoft and Nintendo would ever play nice with each other. Now that's all they seem to do. So, Sam, via Facebook, says, do you think it's possible that if Starlink does well on Switch, that Ubisoft would introduce other spacefaring Nintendo figures, ships, or characters for the game?
What other ones are there?
That's what I was trying to think of something as well. And I don't know, maybe they bring F-Zero characters and turn their cars into spaceships. I don't know.
What could they work in? Well, if it's Earthbound, then the answer is absolutely not. But isn't there's space stuff in Earthbound? There's aliens and that one dude. It's the dude. The Silver. What's his name? Bob Earthbound.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what other franchises that they could work in. I guess all of them are space, but every time he just crashes a ship.
I think right now the only Star Fox character that they've confirmed is just Fox himself. I don't know if, you know, Slippy or Falco.
Tony, you're really hurting your reputation here as a game player. Just gonna put that out there. What are you talking about? I love to play Nintendo Bob. Mr. Watching Game is a classic character.
I play that Atari Switch. I don't know of any other Nintendo properties that have space characters or ships.
But to that end, the relationship between Nintendo and Ubisoft seems to be quite strong, clearly, with Mario and Rabbids, and now like Donkey Kong and Rabbids and Mario, and now Fox. So yeah, I will not be surprised to see more Nintendo-Ubisoft crossover stuff in the future.
Yeah, I wonder what the next one could be.
That's how I finally get my Gyromite remake.
Maybe.
Still holding that hope, dang it. V-Rob on the Wii U is coming. Not letting go.
You're not getting anything on the Wii U.
I don't know who. It was probably the Giant Bombcast, because that may be the only other video game podcast I listen to, but they mentioned a Rob for Labo that you build. I would totally be down with that. I'd build a cardboard Rob.
You'd buy all of the Robs.
Yeah. How's a Labo doing? I see a Labo on every shelf still. I don't think it really set the world on fire, which is odd because it's very flammable.
I mean, I haven't heard anything recently. I was surprised we didn't get any announcements of new Labo packs at E3.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of expected that if Labo did well, we'd hear more at E3, but I mean, Nintendo can announce new stuff anytime they want with their direct stuff. The pipeline is well-established at this point.
I mean, I saw a little bit earlier today, like, Nintendo released that cow milking game from 1-2 Switch? They released a Labo version of that today, and they gave everybody the designs for that free online.
All right.
Hmm. That's the only way they're going to get people to play Labo. I mean, not Labo, 1-2 Switch. I'm surprised, really, that we haven't seen more from that. I don't know how well or how...
I'm taking that as... if we don't hear anything new Labo before the year's out, I'm going to kind of take that as like it didn't do as well as they'd hoped. And maybe this is all they ever planned. I don't know. Like, Nintendo, they'll do weird stuff sometimes.
That's true. But I would think, I mean, there's stuff that they've shown off that is still not out. So, I mean, they obviously had more plans for it.
Yeah, but there's stuff in that Wii trailer, initial trailer that they showed off that never came out. So, you know, maybe that's going to make its way into Labo, that dentist game with the Wiimote. You build a tooth.
Build a cardboard tooth?
Yeah, build a cardboard mouth. Give it some dentures. Like, oh, you're going to need a root canal.
Ooh, that would be a fantastic game.
The little sink.
Cole via Facebook wants to know, what's the craziest thing we've ever built in Minecraft?
Little sink.
I mean, that's pretty easy. You just put a cauldron on the ground and put some water in it.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I've never played Minecraft. I don't know.
I dug a pretty cool hole one time.
Yeah, you did. Digging holes is cool. You talk about digging holes, you say Minecraft. That kind of makes me interested.
I mean, you can dig a lot of holes in Minecraft.
Yeah, but they don't look right. They're like weird holes.
And you can make them... Not really.
Was that sorry?
You can make them any shape you want.
Huh. Can I make them round?
I mean, if you dig enough of those square blocks out, they can...
I don't need to do calculus while I'm playing video games, dang it.
Well, you're going to have to if you want a round hole.
That's how it works.
Dang it. Because there.
You can't make a round hole out of like a 3x3 square.
Of course, you'll have to get so far away that it's probably going to be out of rendering range at that point to see the circle.
That is true. And speaking of crazy things, not really crazy, but I found my first frame rate issue with Minecraft on the Switch this week.
Ethan's laughing as if he's the one responsible.
He absolutely is the one responsible.
What'd you do?
In our Nintendo Oki world, he built this giant arrow shooting thing that goes through lava and it shoots lots of arrows. And it's pointed straight at one of our friend's houses. So every time he fires it sets the house on fire.
Stop picking on people in Minecraft.
He took over my lot of land.
I remember the story. You said you built like the hurling flaming ball thing or whatever. And I told you back then, not cool to bully.
I built it with snowballs in mind that would go through lava and catch fire. But, you know, switching the arrows seemed appropriate.
Sure. Let's make them pointy now, too.
So that contraption worked really well on the previous, the Minecraft Nintendo Switch edition.
Hmm.
On the Bedrock edition of Minecraft, it dropped my frame rate to about 4 frames a second for about 30 seconds.
That reminds me. There was this game I played on computer back in the day. It was Lego Creator 2, maybe. At the back of the box, it says, like, yo, build with an infinite supply of Legos. I was like, yes, please. Thank you. But I built so much with Legos in this game, and I was playing it on my dad's work laptop, which I probably shouldn't even have been on, but whatever. I built so much that the worlds would just start spinning. Like it couldn't process. It's just the history of every Lego game being broken. So I would build these awesome huge cities and houses, and one day I'd just open them up, and it would just be stuck spinning. I'm like, well, guess we're just going to abandon this one and build another one. But one time I anticipated this because I knew eventually it was all going to come to spin into oblivion. So when I was building the town, I also built in the dynamite bricks that explode. And I rigged them all up to the same thing. So if I pushed the button, it would explode everything. So, of course, one day I open up the town. It's just spinning, right? It's just spinning. I'm like, all right. Well, we're going to do this one out with a bang. And I push the explode button. And things stop spinning. And pretty much everything stopped. And then about, I don't know, 30 seconds later, I get a frame of the city exploding. All the bricks moved one. Yeah, you can kind of put together where it went from there.
It's awesome.
So Shannon has dug a hole.
Yep.
That's a fantastic Minecraft build right there. I don't go really crazy with any of my Minecraft builds. I'm not very creative in that respect. I tried to create a mob farm and never got it finished. So there was that. Other than that, I built a wall once. That was pretty crazy.
Whoa.
Calm down. But it was like a double layer wall with a path through the middle of it. So you could be
a door.
Inside. No, like you could be inside the wall, walking along the length of the wall.
Called a hallway. Inside.
Yeah, you I built a hallway. Hallway. So there was that. Yeah, so there you go.
That's awesome.
Mike via Facebook wants to know if we're considering a Nintendo Oki server for Minecraft Together update is out. The answer to that is we would be, but they're not available on Switch yet. So they say they're coming in the coming weeks. That's all it says if you go to the server section of Minecraft on the Switch. My guess is that those won't be available until the Nintendo Online service launches. And those will be behind the paywall at that point.
That's going to be a weird thing. Like, they've been very vocal and upfront about, hey, at some point we're turning on this paywall thing and you're going to have to pay for these games you've been playing for free.
Yeah.
But that's still going to be weird.
It is
kind
be
of
weird.
Unprecedented, I think, is the thing, right? Like, how many people have went from making a free online service to a paid online service within the same console? Like, granted, people have flipped switches between generations of systems, PS4, PS Plus, most notably.
Yeah.
But
I can't think of any of the other ones, because PS3, maybe? Was that free at one point, and then they start, you had to start paying for it?
I don't know. Do you have to pay to play online now with PS3 stuff, with PS Plus?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't know if Destiny 1 on PS3 had that problem.
Or was it just the move from PS3 to PS4 you had to start paying to play online?
That's what I thought, but I guess...
I think it was the PS4 that had the online pay.
So yeah, this may be the first time in the actual console generation that you're going to be paid. So it is going to be weird, but at least it's cheap-ish.
It's not much of a serve-ish?
There is that right now, too.
I think that's kind of my main concern.
Aside from online play and 20 free NES games at the start,
yeah.
What else is there?
Yeah, they haven't done a good job of selling me on it, and they would have to work very hard to sell me on a subscription online service, because historically I don't get much out of them.
I mean, I've been playing a lot of stuff online on the Switch, so I'm going to have to because I'm going to want to keep playing those games online.
The reality of it is, if I don't play Splatoon 2 online before I got to pay for it, I'm never going to play with Splatoon 2 online. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, but that would also limit you to be... You wouldn't be able to play Smash online or anything like that, so...
Mm. I just realized that. Yeah, I'm probably going to have to buy it for Smash.
So... It's $20 for one person, $30 for a family, so it's not terribly expensive, but there's nothing aside from online play and a few NES games that we know of.
Yeah, simply because it is inexpensive compared to their competitors' similar offerings does not necessarily make it a worthwhile transaction.
Yeah. No, I totally get what you're saying. They really, in the next, two or three months, have to tell people what this online service is going to entail.
Yeah, and I imagine at some point there will be a direct where they spell out a lot of this stuff. I would hope they do that. I mean, that seems like the thing they would do. But they've just been so, I don't know, so willy cattywampus. Is that a word? Is that just a word I use? I don't know.
I think that's just an oaky word.
Okay. But yeah, they've just been so weird about their online stuff, and they've been so weird about transmitting what this thing is here. And it seems like they've stepped back on some stuff, and like mixed messages, and Nintendo's online offerings in the past have been lackluster at best. You know, some things have worked fine, but for the majority of their offerings, it is not great.
Yeah. So. Well, we will definitely be keeping an eye out for news about the online service as we get closer to its expected launch in September. So, but then our last one this week comes from Daniel via Facebook, who says, I've been playing Hollow Knight a lot, and I have a serious love-hate relationship with the game. I think it's seriously bloated and has way too much empty space and far too many branching paths that tease the need for new mobility options that unlock in your typical Metroidvania-style game, but are so far spread apart that it makes the act of navigating the game feel really... Also, wasn't particularly dazzled with God of War or Super Mario Odyssey. My question to all of you is this. What critical darlings of any given generation did you give a serious attempt at playing, but for whatever reason just didn't quite do it for you? And why?
I mean, I can speak quite historical. Like, I'm pretty sure everyone on this podcast, except for myself, loves Metal Gear Rising. So there's one within our specific community, Bayonetta as well. And it's nothing against those games. It is so hard for me to enjoy that type of gameplay.
Yeah.
I need something else. I get so bored with just pushing but the same button, doing the same combo stuff over and over. I need something a little more. Now, part of it's on me that if I can just get by with doing the same combo, I will. So I get that, but I don't know. I have similar beef with fighting games. Like, I don't get as much mileage out of them as I could. I don't get a lot of mileage out of them because at some point I just get... It gets repetitive, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I alluded to this earlier in the show. Breath of the Wild I mean, I love Zelda games. My favorite game of all time is probably still Link to the Past. However, Breath of the Wild, I have put less than 10 hours into, and just, I have no desire to go back. As much as I've wanted to, as much as they've added to that game, I have zero desire to keep running around and not having any pure direction. I did not like the breakaway from a very linear path. I really enjoyed that about Zelda. I had trouble with Link Between Worlds, where you were just able to go and do whatever, but everything was still kind of very tied to this specific map that I knew from my history with Link to the Past.
Yeah.
But man, Breath of the Wild, when I found out that you didn't need to do much but just go beat Ganon, I think at hour six I was fighting Ganon and I was done with the game and I hadn't even done any of the big temple things yet. And then I went off and I tried to do the water temple with the Zoras and I was done. I was like, I'm not having fun with this.
Yeah.
And that's just how things go. You said it yourself. You weren't having fun with it. And I mean, that's what it boils down to. Sometimes things just don't click, or something like you saying you fight in Ganon 6 hours in. Like, sometimes that's all it takes to break a game for somebody. Just, something goes wrong. It's not exactly ideal, or it doesn't work out like they wanted to, and it sours your experience on it. It's unfortunate. But that's how it goes.
I've never had a game where, like, the main objective you can just go to, which was cool, but once I had beaten the main objective of the game, I didn't see a reason to really play it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, and then on the flip side of that, I absolutely loved Breath of the Wild and put, 75, 80, 90 hours into that game because I loved that change from, while I absolutely have loved all the Zelda games, the change in Breath of the Wild I thought was fantastic.
It was clearly enough to grab me, unlike any other Zelda game ever has before, because I beat it, and I've never beat any other Zelda game.
The game for me like that, though, is any Bethesda game, really, but specifically like Skyrim, is the one that I tried. I put so much time into Skyrim, and I just could not get into it. I don't like Bethesda's style of game. I don't like the combat. Aww. I don't like... Their style of RPG is just not what I'm looking for in an RPG. I like the JRPG style of game, turn-based RPG specifically. But, it didn't feel like in Skyrim that combat was doing anything. It felt like I was just swinging a sword, and what I was doing was not necessarily reflecting on the screen.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I could not get into it. And I felt that lack of direction that you're talking about, Shannon, in Zelda, in Skyrim. It just felt like there was so much to do, and I didn't want to do any of it because it didn't seem fun.
I thought of another thing while you were talking about that. I played through all of The Last of Us and very much did not like it. I didn't like the gameplay. And the story was fine, but I kind of feel it, for my money at least, it was just kind of another zombie storyline thing, a lot of things that happened in that, I feel like have happened in other mediums as well.
Yeah.
Not taking away from Naughty Dog craftsmanship, I feel like that is probably one of the, if not the best made game I've ever played. As in looking and animations and stuff like that. So that was a real weird juxtaposition for me. It's like, I'm playing this game that I know is, head and shoulders better than anything else on the market right now, but I am not enjoying it. And I forced myself to finish it, which I don't know. I don't know if that was the right decision to make or not. I wanted to see it through to the end because I kept hoping that it would grab me, or I kept hoping that it would be cool, that, I would start liking it. And it just never happened, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people love that game, which I understand why. It's very well made, but it wasn't for me, That's just the way things go sometimes.
Yeah, no.
Mass Effect Andromeda, I kind of... I went into that expecting, you know, more Mass Effect, but I got turned off by it. Just seemed too different, even though the objectives still worked the same. Just something wasn't right with it. It wasn't the graphics or anything. So that's where I have a problem with that game. I just can't finish it.
No.
You touched on something, a good word there. Expectations play a lot into this kind of stuff as well.
That's true.
Like, if you go into something expecting to hate it, more than likely you're going to hate it, you know? And I find it difficult sometimes when people are talking about stuff and like, oh, everybody's, the whole internet's saying it's crap, and you know, and like subconsciously you decide in your mind, oh, this is crap, I'm not going to play it, you know? That happened to me with Resident Evil 6. A lot of people, that game was pandered pretty widely for, you know, a lot of stuff, and it scared me away from playing it, actually. And I played the demo and enjoyed it, and I played the beginning of the game, which I think was basically the demo, and thought that was fine. And I'd never played it past that. Not because I never did anything in the game that was unenjoyable. I guess I got scared that it was going to be bad, and I loved Resident Evil so much. And it's unfortunate. You know, you shouldn't let other people's opinions kind of sour you like that. Micah went on a similar... brought up a similar thing when TMNT Mutants in Manhattan came out. How people were saying, oh, it was made by the bad team of Platinum and all that stuff. And we had fun with that game, you know? So it's... Expectations play a lot into stuff.
That's true.
Oh, I mean, I was expecting, you know, like more Mass Effect, but...
I mean, right. I think in that case, weird. You had the right expectations playing a game called Mass Effect to make it play like Mass Effect. I'm not saying those expectations are wrong.
Well, it's kind of like what Daniel said about having to go between all these places. I'm trying to do objectives or side missions, and here I am just on this planet, and it's like, how do I do this? There's so much to explore still, and I just don't want to do it.
What Mass Effect means to you might not be what Mass Effect means to other people, you know? I can speak to this, like, if you ask me to play Borderlands 1, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I'm down. You name the time and place, I am there. You say, hey, let's go play Borderlands 2. I'm like, maybe, I guess.
Where do you fall in the pre-sequel?
Never played it.
Neither have I.
And the reason why, and this is my point, like, to me, Borderlands means I'm a siren. I have my skill set. I played that game for hundreds of hours. You know, that's Borderlands to me, is being that character, that class, doing that thing. I know there's more to that game, but that's what I did in that game. That's what was fun for me. I didn't get that from Borderlands 2, so I enjoyed Borderlands 2 significantly less.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. It's just how it went.
Well, there you go. That will be the show for this week. So if anybody out there has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show this week, you can send that to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube, check out the stuff we got going on over there, or come on over to the Facebook group and talk to us there. Thank you, Ethan, for being on the show this week.
Yay.
Thank you, Shannon.
Pleasure as always.
And Shelby, as always, thank you for hosting this craziness.
Thank you, Tony, for hosting this craziness.
And having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days.
So, okay, people keep talking about Tencent and all this stuff, right? Now it's buying everything up. How it's buying up properties and all these other things and stuff like that. It took me a long time to realize that Tencent wasn't a rapper.